stop by Denver Diamonds and Jewelry, located in the Bovalon Building at 955 Lincoln Street, to surprise your loved one with something spectacular. Visit DenverDiamondsAndJewelry.com to look at our incredible collection, including Colore, Crown Ring, and Velina Bridal. Denver Diamonds and Jewelry is excited to make your shopping experience memorable and personable. That's 955 Lincoln Street in the Bovalon Building, or DenverDiamondsAndJewelry.com.
Welcome back. Segment two, last call. Benjamin Albright, Joe Morgan here with you. 94.1 FM, 96.9 Boulder. AM 1550 on the Front Range, streaming live, milehighsports.com. And the Mile High Sports app.
Download it.
I couldn't get all that in one breath this time.
That's why I'm here.
You know. You're on the backing vocals there. I like the moves he's got. You can't see it at home, but Joe is dancing along to the bump music. So
moving and shaking, baby.
Love it. Love it. Speaking of moving and shaking, man, guy we had on the show a while back, talk a little bit about his infographic, reception, perception, something I'm personally fascinated by. Matt Harmon. You can find him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. You can find his writing at footballguys.com, optimalscouting.com, and lately a Washington Post freelancer, as well as thebackyardbanner.com. Matt, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, guys. It's nice to be back. Ready to talk some more wide receivers, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I noticed I was scrolling through your Twitter feed the other day, and I noticed you were talking about having charted out Demaryius Thomas, somebody I have been opposed to the Broncos signing long-term. I say that, you know, save the money, bring Latimer up, that kind of stuff. But I'm interested to see what your tape breakdown and what reception perception says about Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, so, you know, I work for Football Guys, so obviously I'm heavily involved in the fantasy community, so it's always tough when you come out with a slightly negative opinion of a guy that's a top five fantasy scorer. But that's kind of where I was after charting Demaryius Thomas, and I didn't really expect to feel that way. Or I shouldn't say negative, just kind of a little bit more down on him than I thought I would be. As far as, you know, I talked about last time I was on, the success rate versus coverage, or SRVC metric that I have, where how often the receivers get open versus different brands of coverage and then on each particular route. As far as versus man coverage, he was slightly below the NFL average. And then for zone coverage, he was slightly just above the NFL average. So since now that I have a little more context, I've charted more guys since last I've been on here. I'm starting to see where guys sort of rank and file as far as NFL receivers go. And Thomas was just a little bit disappointing in that regard, as far as getting open and, you know, beating the man across from him and releasing off the line of scrimmage versus press coverage. I was a little surprised at how infrequently he did those things on a regular, proficient basis.
Once again, we're talking with Matt Harmon. You can find him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. Matt, that seems to defy convention. You would think that a guy like Demaryius Thomas, a guy who was drafted to be a height, weight, speed guy, could out-muscle guys at the line, out-speed them, but you're saying man coverage, he performs below expectation.
Yeah, and I think that you have to kind of the great thing about reception perception is, I think that, and, you know, not to toot my own horn here about my own methodology, but I think the great thing about it is it kind of puts itself into context. So I think that when you look at how often he beats man coverage, and that's disappointing considering his height, weight, speed, it kind of does display that he has some, you know, technical deficiencies to his game, and that he really is kind of, I don't want to say, I know a role player sounds like a dirty, you know, term as far as when you're evaluating NFL players goes, but I don't think that it really is as bad as the context kind of makes it sound. He's just in a very specific role, and he's very, very good at that role. I mean, as far as breaking tackles and making plays after the catch, he's one of the best I've charted. And he's ultra productive on, like, the three or four routes that he runs. But outside of those slants, screens, nines, and post routes, he's just not very proficient. He's not what I would say a complete player, whereas guys where, you know, the productive guys in the NFL, as far as like Antonio Brown, you know, maybe, Calvin Johnson, he's kind of mentioned in that top tier, but he doesn't really match up to them from a technique perspective, or, you know, just like I said, a well-rounded game. He's more of just incredibly good in those, you know, two or three specific aspects where they ask him to win.
Right. That's one of the things that, in looking at this, he's never been, at least not to this point, he's never been a soft spot in the zone guy. He's always been that, you know, streak by you at Georgia Tech, running the 9-8, you know, or the pop screen, bubble screen type stuff, which is what he's doing here. And that's been kind of my argument, this is a four-trick pony. Granted, he's really good at those four tricks, but he's kind of limited. And whether or not he grows, I don't know that you can justify tying up 10%, 12%, 15% of your salary cap in a player who runs, you know, four routes, two of which are, you know, the fly and the screen.
Right, and I totally get that line of thinking, especially if you are not going to be run. You know, Peyton Manning is not much longer for the NFL, you know, whether he has 1 year left or maybe 2 years left. You know, I think that's up for debate at this point. You're not going to be running the same offense forever, so that kind of brings into your point of, you want to sink a bunch of money into, you know, a super glorified, you know, top of the mountain level role player when you could spread that money out. And, you know, I think you can get other receivers to do the same things, not do them as well. But it's definitely something that if you stretch him outside of this assignment that they've given him, you wonder how proficiently he would perform, which is, you know, like I said, I do things from a fantasy perspective. When you talk, you know, dynasty and long-term fantasy, you wonder if he leaves Denver, is he going to be as productive in another system? And I would say at this point, from what I've charted, I would tend to doubt that.
Matt, this is Joe Morgan. Thanks for coming on again. You know, we've obviously, Ben and I have had a lot of discussions here about Demaryius Thomas and whether we bring him back for a long-term deal. The guy that we think could, you know, be the guy who, the next big guy wide receiver on this team would be Cody Latimer. What did you see from him breaking down the tape?
Yeah, Latimer obviously didn't play a lot his rookie year, so he doesn't fall. I'm putting out a book with all my data in July, and he obviously doesn't make the threshold to be charted because he just didn't play that much. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if he ran over 100 routes his rookie year. I would think to doubt it, but I think that Latimer was a guy I was really high on coming out of college. I think he reminded me a lot of like a Michael Floyd, and I know Floyd had a disappointing rookie year, but the season last year was a little bit disappointing from what he was expected to do. But he's fast for his size. He can really shield defenders well. And actually, that's something that Thomas doesn't do very well. I only have him at a 50% contested catch conversion rate on 14 attempts from the games I charted. So that would be kind of a different aspect from what Thomas brings to the table to what Latimer could do. So I'm a guy, I really am high on Latimer. I'm hoping that he gets more playing time this year. John Fox, I follow the Panthers pretty well, and so I'm very familiar with John Fox's stubbornness as far as playing young players and rookies. He prefers to defer to the veterans, but I'm really excited about Latimer going forward, especially if his role continues to grow over the next two or three years.
Matt, out of curiosity, are you doing any kind of tight ends? I mean, just kind of the way that the NFL is going, obviously, is a little bit more like a wide receiver. Are you charting any tight ends, or is it strictly the wide receiver position?
Strictly the wide receiver position right now. I definitely want to get into tight ends somewhere down the line, but obviously, you know, the process is still very new, so I kind of want to get it, you know, not perfected, but close to it for wide receivers, and then maybe in a couple of years start bringing tight ends into the picture. And also, you know, it is very time consuming, and you know, I have a full-time job outside of this, so it just haven't really been able to bring that into the picture, but it's something that I want to explore going down the line.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed you've been able to do all this so far, all these numbers you're throwing out. It's crazy. How much time? I'm just curious. How much time are you putting into this? Because it's got to take a lot of time.
Oh, it's a lot of time. No doubt about it. And like I said, I work a 40 hour week job in the social services field, so I'm usually pretty drained. But I'm really passionate about this, and especially this process in particular. It really is fascinating to me, and I enjoy it. So the time doesn't really feel like work, but it is certainly, a lot of hours during the week.
Once again, we're talking with Matt Harmon. You can find him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB, footballguys.com, optimumscouting.com, and on the Washington Post. Matt, how was this idea born? When I look at the actual infographic, the beauty of it to me is the simplicity of it. At the same time, it's giving you a lot of information in a really simple format. What birthed that idea for you?
Well, kind of a two-layer answer to that is, one, when I set out to start when I kind of foregoing opportunities to advance my degree and stuff like that to start covering football, I realized that I needed something to kind of stand out. I needed to do something, you know, out of the ordinary. So that's why I kind of wanted to make my own methodology to evaluate one position and sort of kind of own this wide receiver niche. And I've always been drawn to the position. And in general, I think that wide receivers is really the one position that is so heavily based in anecdotal analysis, just because, you know, it's an incredibly dependent position. You know, it's dependent on the quarterback to get them the ball. It's dependent on the other players to block for them to get yards after the catch, the offensive line to provide the time that plays need to develop down the field. So I think that people throw out a lot of things like, oh, this player isn't getting open, or, oh, he doesn't run this route very well. And I really wanted to cut through that noise and kind of quantify it. So I think that's what perception does. And also provide context to each sort of attribute of their game. So I just really wanted to cut through the noise, and I guess that's how the idea was born. And, you know, people seem to like it, so I've kept doing it, and I want to, you know, take it to new and greater heights from here.
You mentioned that you were putting a book out about this with all this data this summer. Do you have a projected release date for that? And where would listeners be able to find that book?
Yeah, I'm shooting for mid-July. I think I'm going to nail down a release date here in the next month after the draft is over. I'm working on tonight, right before you guys called, I was finalizing my wide receiver draft ranking. So once the draft is over, I'll be pretty much completely dedicated to this. So I'm shooting for mid-July, and I'll have all the information coming out from my Twitter feed, obviously, but also from I'll probably just be distributing it through my site, which is thebackyardbanter.com.
Well, that's good stuff. We'll have to point the listeners in that direction at that time. You said you get done finalizing your wide receiver rankings for the draft. You know, you got any special tips for us on how they graded out?
Yeah, sure. One guy that I've been really high on throughout this process is Devontae Davis, and I actually have him as my 10th ranked receiver. You know, he's from UNLV, so he's not a really well-known guy, but I did work for Optimum Scout, and he was a guy that I pinpointed early on because that was my conference. So I've been kind of high on him throughout the process. So he's really a guy that I like a lot. I've just been really impressed with a lot of the depth in this class. Guys like Kenny Bell, who's kind of under the radar. Yeah, he's impressive. He's high in my rankings. And then sort of later on, there are guys like Tony Lippett, who I just grew to like more and more throughout the process. Just because for what they illustrate, like especially Lippitt, you know, he really it illustrates that difference between results-based and technique-based scouting, and they're just really fascinating stuff. So I have write-ups for pretty much everybody that I watch, with about 35 guys. So I mean, this is it's another great deep wide receiver class, and I think my rankings are, you know, they're unique and they're my own. So I'm excited to get them out tomorrow morning.
Matt, who did you have then as who's your number one receiver coming out? Is it Cooper?
I actually have Doriel Green Beckham, just okay, without factoring in the off-field concerns or anything like that. And then after that, I have Kevin White and then Amari Cooper.
You know, it's funny. I love Cooper, but a lot of people love White. And for me, I just love what I saw. Maybe I'm more of a guy who, I don't know, kind of just watching the game and just passes the eye test. But what was the difference then between Cooper and Beckham and White for you?
Yeah, I'm a young, impulsive guy, so I think part of me is always going to be a sucker for upside. And I think both of those guys, you know, while Cooper is so refined and really checks pretty much every box, despite a few weaknesses playing the ball in the air, I think Green Beckham and White both, you know, they're the bigger, more physical specimens. And they just show I think they show more potential than they're given credit for, especially Green Beckham. You know, I charted him for reception, and it was only a small game sample size. I really thought he ran more routes than he was given credit for, and shows more just such great quickness and fluidity for his size that I think that as he grows, you know, if everything off the field doesn't come back to haunt him, which, you know, that tends to repeat itself, but we'll see. If he's able to stay clean in the NFL, I think he's a guy that can develop a full route tree. And same with Kevin White. I mean, he's another guy that is, he's not stiff at all. I really like him. I compare him kind of to a Jordy Nelson. You know, he's a great athlete coming into the league, but I think he can develop as a technician, kind of as Nelson has throughout his career.
Appreciate it, Matt. We got to run. We're up against it. That was Matt Harmon. You can find him on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. This is Last Call. We'll be back with you right after this.
If you wanted Timmy to pull the trigger, you belong with us. We are Mile High Sports.
Get off the street and take it to the track. Bring your own car or bike to Pueblo Motorsports Park and turn our 2.2-mile racetrack into the most fun you can have with your clothes on. Just $100 gets you a half day of open lapping. $150 for all day. Check us out at PuebloMotorsportsPark.net. Call 719-584-RACE or just come and see for yourself. Take it to the track now at Pueblo Motorsports Park.
Come celebrate at the Roo Bar. Enjoy their new happy hour with $2.50 well drinks and drafts and $5 appetizers every Monday through Friday from 4 to 7 and late night happy hour every night from 10 to 1. The Roo Bar is fun on any occasion, especially on game day. And on Wednesdays, it's all you can eat wings and fries from 7 to 10. Don't miss the excitement at the Roo Bar, located just east of I-25 at 3480 Park Avenue West. The Roo Bar, your friendly neighborhood bar without all the pesky neighborhood.
Danny and Cello.
Why are you getting all nervous, man?
I'm not. You know what? I am nervous. Guess. We do have something to tell you guys.
We are back!
We are back! It's true, ladies and gentlemen. After dominating the afternoon airwaves for a whole year, Danny and Cello.
And then we were at 5 o'clock.
We'll be returning to the mornings, and it's going to be spectacular.
The mayhem continues.
Feeling lucky? Got the magic touch? Ready to strike it rich? If the answer to any of those questions is yes, it's time to sign up for the Mile High Sports Home Run Slot Tournament at Reserve Casino Hotel in Central City. On Friday, May 15th, players will vie for their share of $5,000. And there's no entry fee. Play anytime between 6 and 9 for your chance to win. Register to play at milehighsports.com. Get lucky, show off the magic touch, and strike it rich at the Mile High Sports Home Run Slot Tournament. Reserve Casino Hotel. Loosest slots and richest rewards. I-70 West. Exit 243.
Make a legal Pete's your choice for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and late night. Visit us for a drink. Happy hour happens every day from 3 to 8 p.m. When you find yourself hungry after the game, pay us a visit. We serve food late night every Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Need a delicious breakfast burrito before you start your day? We serve breakfast as early as 7 a.m. every single weekday until 1 p.m. on weekends. Need catering for your next event? Illegal Pete's caters all events. Visit IllegalPete's.com for more information. Illegal Pete's, deliciously different.
Is walking up to the craps table intimidating? Are you getting the most when you double down? Be the casino player you want to be by tuning into the Saturday Safe Bet Radio Show, hosted by me, Marty Selden. A walk through the casino, visiting all the different casino gaming areas, from the sportsbook to the craps table, to casino junkets to casino reps, discussing the different games, bets, numbers, how they are derived, and what they mean in order for you to become more knowledgeable when entering the casino yourself so that you can make a safe bet. This show takes away the mystery and makes a casino visit fun.
What happens when you combine the ultimate driving machine, the ultimate staff in sales and service, and the ultimate driving experience? It's simple, really. You'll be a customer for life.